Now let us turn to the fixed use of the Jesus Prayer. When we are trying to say the prayer and not doing anything else. Usually, so far as external conditions are concerned, the Jesus Prayer is said alone, though there are exceptions to this. The main Orthodox monastery in Great Britain, the monastery of St. John the Baptist at Tollisant Knights, founded by the Russian Father Sofroni, disciple of the Athonite monk St. Silwan. At that monastery, except at the weekends, the divine office is replaced by the corporate recitation of the Jesus Prayer. They meet for 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening. And the pattern is that first the abbot perhaps will say the Jesus Prayer 100 times, and then one of the other monastics will take up the prayer another 100 times, and so in turn each says it. They don't all say it together. One says it aloud, the others in their heart. But that is exceptional. Usually the Jesus Prayer is a prayer to be said in your own room alone. Usually it is said seated. The Byzantine texts say sit on a low stool about 9 inches high, but I often suggest to people that they should sit simply on an upright chair with a back. It is said most often with the eyes closed, but if you grow sleepy, you can stand up. And after each Jesus Prayer, you can make a prostration to the ground and rise up again. And after you've done that about 20 times, perhaps you feel less sleepy. It's usually said, not chanted, though in the Greek and Slavonic forms, there is a definite rhythm, an inner music in the Jesus Prayer. That's less apparent in the English text. The speed at which you can say it is varied very widely. More quickly among the Greeks, more slowly among the Russians. It need not necessarily be said outwardly by the voice. It may be just articulated inwardly. There are ways of linking it with the breathing, and often a prayer rope is used. Initially, I suggest to people that if you're saying the Jesus Prayer alone, 10 to 15 minutes is quite sufficient, but with experience it may be said for longer periods. The inner aim of what I've called the fixed use is, yes, to create silence. And here I think of the Greek word hesychia, a key word in the Philokalia. Silence in the sense of stillness of the heart. As Soren Kierkegaard said, if I were a doctor and were asked for my advice, I should reply, create silence. Surely the contemporary world is greatly in need of such a doctor. The great Roman Catholic spiritual guide, Baron Friedrich von Hugo, used to say, man is what he does with his silence. Silence, that is to say, is an essential component in our human personhood. Without silence, we are not genuinely human. How much silence is there in your and my life? That is another way of asking, how human are you and I? Jesus' prayer, then, is a way of entry into true silence, into inner stillness, or hesychia. But what do we mean by silence? Is it merely outer, an absence of sound, a pause between words? Is it basically negative? Or is it rather inward and positive? Not an absence, but a presence. Not a void, not emptiness, but fullness. Does not silence mean, in the true spiritual sense, awareness of the other? In the words of Georges Bernanos, silence is a presence. At the heart of it is God. In the Psalms, Psalm 45, in the Hebrew numbering 46, we read, "Be still and know that I am God." The Psalm verse does not simply say, "Be still," but it then goes on to speak of the presence of God. Know that God is. Stillness, silence, is God awareness. True silence, then, in prayer, understood in this positive sense, signifies not isolation, but relationship. It signifies receptivity, openness, encounter, a losing and finding of oneself in the other through love. Silence, then, in prayer, means being with, in an alert, attentive manner. Silence is creative listening. And as an image of what silence means, I would think of the figure you often see in the apse of Byzantine churches, the figure of the Mother of God with her hands raised in prayer. The figure of the Mother of God Platitera, wider than the heavens, or the Mother of God Orans in prayer. To me, this ancient gesture of raised hands in prayer signifies exactly silence as waiting upon God. When I was about 10 years old, I heard a sermon about prayer in the Anglican church to which my family went, and I remember it very clearly. Those of you who have occasion to preach sermons, be careful what you say. Children may be listening, and they can be very exact listeners. On this occasion, the preacher told a story which I think is associated with the Curé d'Ars, but he didn't mention him. Once upon a time, there was an old man in a village who used to go into the church each day and remain there for a long time. His friends said to him, "What are you doing all that time in church. And he said, I'm praying. Praying, they said, you must have a great many things to ask God for. He replied with some warmth, I'm not asking God for anything. What are you doing then, they said. And he replied, I just sit and look at God, and God sits and looks at me. That seemed to me a very good definition of prayer when I was 10 years old, and so it does to me still. And this is what the Jesus prayer aims to bring about. It's a prayer of listening, a prayer of simple gazing, a contemplative prayer.